The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is by Walter Pendleton. Visit us on the website at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that is www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
This morning, I want to read the first four verses of Paul's epistle, this Colossian epistle. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. I want to call your attention to that one phrase in verse 4. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life. The day in which you and I live is plagued by the spirit of complacency, and it's plagued by a spirit of easy believism, and it's plagued by a spirit of religious decisionism. Christendom, when I say Christendom, I mean professed Christianity, not necessarily true Christianity, but professed Christianity. Christendom uses Jesus like a lucky rabbit's foot, or it uses his name like it's some magical talisman to ward off everything from A to Z. Rarely today, when men do speak of Jesus of Nazareth, they always say Jesus. Have you ever noticed that? They always just say Jesus, but never do they, rarely at least, do they ever honor him as Christ and as Lord. Men and women do not mind having Jesus as a part of their life, but it is few indeed who are truly risen with Christ. It is few indeed who are dead, that's dead to the world's error, dead to the world's motives, and dead to the world's passions. Few indeed who are dead and their life is hid with Christ in God. It is few indeed for whom and in whom Christ is their life. Now, there is no doubt that Christ sustains all physical life. You could see that taught in the scripture, the Apostle Paul's words in Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 28, mainly. And there the Apostle Paul says of our God who is manifest in Jesus Christ, he says it's in him we live and move and have our being. So there is no doubt that Christ sustains all physical life. And according to the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17, there is no doubt that Christ holds all of creation together. He's the one who sustains it, and by him all these things consist. They're held together. So again, let me say there's no doubt that Christ sustains all physical life. There's no doubt that Christ holds all of creation together. However, in my text for this morning, this text deals with far more than physical life, and it deals with far more than the sustaining of the universe. The life spoken of in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4 is spiritual life. It's that life that comes from God, that individual, particular life that comes, the life that man doesn't have by nature. We have physical life by nature, but the Apostle Paul told the Ephesian believers, and you who were dead in trespasses and in sins. You see, all men and women by nature are born spiritually dead. We have no spiritual life within us because of the fall of our father Adam. So the life spoken of here by Paul, when Christ, who is our life, the life of Colossians 3:4 is spiritual life. And that life, that spiritual life, governs the physical life of those who are spiritually alive. Now, let me make something absolutely clear this morning. spiritual life, this spiritual life, this life that comes from God, is not given to everyone. Not everyone is given this life. Listen to our Lord's words, the words of Christ himself in John chapter 5 and verse 21. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth. Do you see that? Even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Well, what kind of quickening is he talking about? Well, listen to verse 25. Truly, truly, that is verily, verily, it says in the KJV. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And he hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. So we see here our Lord referring to that resurrection of the last day in the same manner. It takes the same sovereign power of God to bring spiritual life into the heart and mind and soul of an individual. So this life is not given to everyone. He says the Son gives life to whomsoever he will. It's not up to man's will. It's not up to, there's nothing we do to get Christ to give us this life. This life comes through a sovereign act of Christ himself. This life is the cause of believing. Listen to, again, our Lord's words in John 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Do you see that? Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath. In the Greek, it's clear that the life comes before the hearing and the believing both. In order to truly hear, and truly believe, life, this spiritual principle of life, must be present. So, not everyone is given this life. This life is the cause of believing. Our Lord taught that clearly in his instruction to Nicodemus. He said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born from above, that has to happen first. That's the whole context of what our Lord was saying. Except a man be born from above, he can't even see the kingdom of God. And except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And John's own words in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Not gets born of God, not immediately receives birth from God, but whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, that person is born of God. No fallen, depraved, spiritually dead son or daughter of Adam raises themselves from the dead. We will not raise ourselves from the dead in the resurrection at the end, and neither do men and women raise themselves from the dead spiritually in the present time. So again I say, no fallen, depraved, spiritually dead son or daughter of Adam raises themselves from the dead. Christ is our life. That is, those who actually have this life. Christ is our life. He's the source of it. He's the giver of it. He's the sustainer of it. So Christ is our life. Christ is our life because he is its originating source. But even more than that, not only is Christ the originating source of it, not only must it come as a sovereign act of the sovereign God in electing, predestinating love, but even more, Christ is not only the originating source of this life, but Christ is the sole object of this life. The Apostle Paul says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When Christ, who is our life, you see, Christ competes with no one else. Listen to what our Lord said in Matthew chapter 10. I want to turn to that and read that for you. Matthew chapter 10. And listen to our Lord's words. Christ competes with no one else. Verse 32 of Matthew 10. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. What sobering words those are. He goes on, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and daughter against her mother, and daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Do you see that? Christ will not compete with anyone else. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. So Christ competes with no one else. But our Lord Jesus Christ goes on to clearly say that he will not compete with a person's own self. Listen as he continues in verse 38 of Matthew chapter 10. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So you see it? Christ will not compete with a person's own self. When Christ, who is our life, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye, that is those to whom Christ is their life, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So Christ competes with no one else. And Christ competes with, does not compete with a person's self. And Christ will not compete with the necessities of this life. Listen to our Lord's words in Matthew chapter 6, the Sermon on the Mount. Christ will not compete with the necessities of this life. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he says these words, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one. You see it? Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? You see, Christ competes with nothing. The Apostle Paul is clear again in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 4, when Christ, who is our life. You see, according to the scripture, the Lord Jesus Christ competes with nothing else. Nothing else in this world. Christ competes with nothing else because this pleased the Father. This is the way God was pleased to do it. This is what pleased God. Listen to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18 and 19. And he, that he is Christ, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he, that is Christ, that he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father, you see that? For it pleased the Father that in him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell. So Christ competes with nothing else because it pleased the Father. Christ is our life because this is what it pleased the Father to do. Everything is in Christ. Christ is center and substance of all the life of the believer. He is our life. He sustains our life. He is the life itself. So this Christ competes with nothing else because it pleased the Father. And this Christ competing with nothing else, this is Christ's exalted place for his own obedience. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 2. And listen to what he says. I'll begin in verse 5. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross.
Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So we see that Jesus Christ competes with nothing else in this world because it pleased the Father to make it that way. Because this is Christ's exalted place for his obedience, that obedience he wrought when he suffered under the judgment of God on that tree. It pleased God in these things. God hath highly, highly exalted him above all principality and power, the world said, above every name that is named, above everything, whether it's things in heaven, things in earth, or things under the earth. Christ is preeminent. He is supreme. He is above all. Not only that, according to the Apostle Paul, this same epistle, the epistle of my text where he says, when Christ, who is our life, according to the Apostle Paul here in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, Christ will not compete with this world's ways. You hear what I say? Christ will not compete with this world's ways. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 2. Several verses here. Listen to what he says. For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom, that is, in Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And this I say, in other words, Paul said, I'm telling you this, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. And let me add, it's sad to say that in this world, Christendom, that false Christianity I spoke of, does its best to draw men and women's eyes and their hearts and their minds and their souls away from Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, as I said, they use him, but he's like a lucky rabbit's foot. They use his name as some kind of magical wand or magical talisman to solve all problems. But according to the Apostle Paul, he says, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And I say this, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words, for though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. You see it? You see, not only do I receive Christ by grace, but I walk in Christ by grace. My walk is all bound up. The walk of every believer is bound up in Christ. This is why Paul sums it up, so to speak, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 4. Christ, who is our life. So let me continue. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, that's in Christ, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. You see that? It is amazing that some have said concerning folks like ourselves at Sovereign Grace Chapel, all you ever speak about is Christ. Well, that's sadly probably not so, but that is our heart's desire and our mind's desire and our soul's desire, because we know that Christ is all. Christ is our life. He is everything. Again, listen, beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy. That might even be religious philosophy, not just the philosophy of the philosophers of ancient Greek, but even religious philosophy. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Now why? Why? Here's why. Verse 9, for in him, that is, for in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, that is in Christ. Now, if you're complete, what else do you need? He's sufficient to give me life. He's sufficient to bring me to believe and repent. He's sufficient to cause within me obedience unto him. He's sufficient for my walk. He's sufficient for my death. He's sufficient to receive me into glory. He's sufficient for all. No wonder, Paul says, when Christ, who is our life. So he says, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. So it is no wonder. It is no wonder that Christ is stressed by the Apostle Paul in Colossians chapter 4, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. Then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So we see that Christ competes with nothing else because this pleased the Father. And Christ competes with nothing else because this is Christ's exalted place for his obedience unto the Father. And we see that Christ competes with nothing else because he won't compete with this world's ways. Jesus Christ is all to those who are truly born of God. But not only that, Christ will not compete with this unbelieving, idolatrous world. Now let me turn to 2 Corinthians. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to read these words to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and beginning in verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them, and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Do you see it? Why is this so? Because Christ is all. He's everything. There's nothing else in this world that competes with him. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, Paul says, is it? Listen, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. Yes, all filthiness of the flesh, but also all filthiness of the spirit. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. You see, Christ is all. And he's not all in some slavish way to the true born-again believer. He's all in a joyous way. When Christ, who is our life, that's why Paul summed it up that way. He didn't say Christ ought to be our life. He didn't say Christ should be our life. He said, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. You see, no one can have Christ as a part of their life. That's just a fact. That's just the way God's ordained it. You cannot have the Christ of God as a part of your life. The Jesus of this world, this false Jesus, this false Christ, oh yeah, you can have him as a part of your life. You go on and do your own thing in your own time. When you go to Sunday school and all these other things, you can have him as a part of your life. But the Christ of God competes with nothing else. The Christ of God competes with no one else for the affections and the love and the devotion of his people. And God's people, those who are truly born of God, those who are saved of God, those who have been saved by the preaching of the gospel, by the preaching of the gospel and its converting power, they love to have it that way. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So again, no one can have God's Christ. No one can have the Christ of God as a part of their life. Yes, again, I say, the Jesus of this world, yeah, you can have him as a part of your life, but not the Christ of God. Christ is all. And only those who acknowledge this, only those who rejoice in this, Only those who know, feel, and can taste within the very fiber of their being that Christ is my life. He gave me life initially, not just physical life, spiritual life. He raised me from the spiritual dead. He raised me out of my inner corruption. He brought the gospel to me, sent someone ordained of God and called of God to preach the gospel to me. And in giving me that life, and in sending that gospel to me, and that gospel being preached unto me, called me out of darkness into his marvelous light. We now glory in showing forth his marvelous light. We love to declare him, to speak of him, and to speak of him in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ certainly is the brightness of God's glory, the effulgence of God's glory. So again, I say Christ is all, and only those who acknowledge it and rejoice in it. It's not some slavish thing. If it's a burden to you to serve your Christ, then your Christ is not the Christ of God. And I say that in concern for your soul. Christ is all. He's all. And only those who acknowledge it, only those who rejoice in it, Christ as all shall. He shall what? Listen to what the Apostle Paul said. And let me turn back to it in my text, Colossians chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall, oh, what a promise, then shall ye also appear with him in glory.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia 24732. Come hear Christ preached.